Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings and greetings, greetings and blessings, blessed souls. We're alive because we're blessed to stay alive in Torah Chaim, instructions of life, Torah Chesed, instructions of kindness, Torah Rachamim, instructions of mercies. You now tune into Blog Talk Radio, and we humbly suggest we are the higher inner frequency of blogtalkradio.com. We call ourselves Soul Class. This happens to be Soul Class 601, Heart to Heart, from Jerusalem to the rest of the world program, presentation number 58. Baruch Hashem. Blessed is our Creator, Shalom, peace, and bracha, blessing upon the entire human family experience. With Creator's help, our next broadcast is transpiring right now on May 9th, 9:34 a.m., live from Turtle Island, a.k.a. the USA Unifying Souls, actually, which would correspond to now 4:34 Holy Land, Jerusalem time. We're just waiting for our co-host to call in. And our program content will focus on being in discussion with international human rights activist Rabbi Dr. Eliezer Goldstock. Our call-in number is 347-838-8669, which you can listen in on your phone. You can get through various other means on the Internet. Meanwhile, may the Eternal Creator bless and protect you and your loved ones peacefully and pleasantly. The tags for today's program are Eternal Creator, Divine Image, Universal Redemption, and when you help a handicapped, or a handicapable, I should say, when you help a
blah, blah, blah. Let me start all over. When you help a handy, capable human being, you're proving you, too, have become more capable yourself. As we wait for Rabbi Dr. Eliezer Goldstock to call in, I want to mention to everyone, excuse me, that I recently was notified by Booker T. Washington, Business Council President Karchal Gore, that he's going to be holding a seminar, and I just want to let everyone know about this. It's called a CLEP class, which is basically tutoring to help our youngsters get through college faster and cheaper. And the first challenge is to help people earn 3 college credits in literature. And the tutoring session will be Sunday, May 15th at 1 p.m. at the Brooklyn Kings Highway Library, located at 21115 Ocean Avenue, which is near Kings Highway, at 1 to 1:30 p.m. And you can look for us in the conference room. And then the second session will be at 6 p.m. Tuesday, May 17th in Crown Heights. Now, you'll have to call Karchal Gore, whose number I have to dig out of my business card that I have of his, so you'll please forgive me for that one. Or if you want to find out more information, you can go to Karchal Gore on Facebook. That's CARTRELLGORE. That's CARTRELLGORE, GORE. And that's, I mentioned I would plug or promote and share with others, for those living in the Brooklyn area who may want to empower themselves through the college learning experience or to help their youngsters or their cousins or their nephews or nieces. And still, as we wait for Dr. Goldstock to come on the air, I'm just going to try to send him a text, see what's going on. If he's not responding, something must have come up very importantly. Let me just see. I'm just typing in. Are you calling into the program? Let's see. Hopefully he is. And while we're waiting for him to call in, I want to now pull out of our little bag of, what would you call, very, how should we say, well, I'm even at a loss of words. Sometimes we have to pull out of our bag of, not, I wouldn't call it tricks, but being spontaneous. So we're gonna pull out the Heart to Heart website, which was upgraded by Shoshana Imhoff Mausner. May Hashem strengthen her. Bagashim Sparuchnius. I know that she's listening in right now. Let's just pull that out. And if Dr. Goldstock doesn't call in the next minute or so, I'm going to read a story, which is pertinent to me because, as those of you who connect to me on Facebook and otherwise, it is now 3 weeks plus since I lost my dear father, Reb Shlomo Yaakov, Olav Shalom Ben Huna David. Oh, and I think the good doctor, Rabbi Doctor, just called in. And good afternoon, Eliezer.
Good afternoon, Reb Don. How are you? Can you hear me?
Baruch Hashem. I can hear you. I can hear you, and I'm ready to hear that blessing from you.
Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Barei Minei Mezaynus.
Amen. Oh, and Rabbi Goldstock brought out a post-Pesach piece of chametz. It's more than a week after Pesach already. Mm. That was him pronouncing and sanctifying space and time within cyberspace to pronounce publicly, blessed are you, God, Lord of the universe, who creates all different types of sustenance. And I'm going to respond with my own blessing. Excuse me for that noise.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nihyoh B'dvaroi.
Amen. And Robert Goldstock got that blessing.
So now we got a
blessing
and a shahako. Got that coffee going. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I just want to explain the blessing means, blessed are you, God, Lord of the universe, who everything proceeds out through your blessed attribute of speech. And here comes my cup of coffee going down the hatch. Of course, the Rabbi Goldstock turning back, respond with Amen. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nihyoh B'dvaro.
Amen. Oh, and Don just sanctified the Avisher over the internet. You realize that you just made a bracha that reached as far as South Africa, the North Pole, Alaska, Hawaii. People sitting and freezing in an igloo and sitting out on the beach getting ready to go surfing, and you just sanctified Hashem's name before all of them. Unbelievable. This is like, what an amazing thing we've got here in this internet.
True.
Hey,
I'd like to chime.
First of all,
yeah.
Go ahead. You go first.
Well,
your program.
As I want to first of all dedicate today's efforts towards the elevation of the soul of my father. We're now 3 weeks plus since his going to the next level of life, and I'm going to share a very interesting perspective from Lubavitch Rebbe in a moment or two. So today's program is dedicated Ilan Neshmas, Reb Shlomo, Yaakov, Olav Shalom, Ben Huna David, Olav Shalom, Goodman, who passed on to the next level of life on the 9th of
Shlomo
Nisan.
Shlomo Yaakov, Ben who? What was your Zaydi's name?
Huna, like Rav Huna, Huna David.
Right. Huna David, okay. Oh, yeah, I knew that. Okay. But,
okay.
Eliezer, I was making Misha Barrett for him when he was... Okay.
I want to share to start up the program, and then, of course, you'll take it from there. You know, there's a wonderful series of videos, Blessed Souls, that you can access for free by going to Gem Media, Jewish Educational Media. And this series of videos, which are sometimes between 3 to 8 minutes, are considered called Here's My Story, Personal Encounters, or My Encounter with the Rebbe, referring to the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And I'd like to slice out a piece from the latest installation, which I think that I personally relate to and anyone who's lost a loved one will relate to. And also, this will give you a greater and deeper insight into the 40-plus years of work in blood, sweat, and tears on the part of Rabbi Goldstock and his Eishes Chayil Chana Tova, their work with Heart to Heart, and even the great work they were doing beforehand. First of all, the Rebbe wrote spoke to a Mrs. Chana Sharfstein, who was the first Hasidic woman in Crown Heights, as she explained it, to get her master's degree. I think it was in the late 60s. And in the 1950s, she lost both of her parents by the time she was 25 years old, and she was devastated by that. And the Rebbe explained to her the idea of how the soul lives on forever. And the Rebbe went on to say the following: this principle has even been discovered in the physical world, where science now holds as an absolute truth that nothing in the physical world can be absolutely destroyed. It would be silly and illogical to assume that just because a certain organ of the body ceases to function, affecting other physical organs of the body, the spiritual soul would also be affected thereby. The truth is that when the physical body ceases to function, the soul continues its existence, and not only as before, but even on a higher level, inasmuch as it's no longer handicapped by the constraints of the physical form. And then she added that the Rebbe continued in his explanation to her, that how can she reassess the passing of her parents when she was at the tender age of 25, in the following way. And she said this greatly affected her in a very positive way. And this is the parable the Rebbe gave her. When a person is called away from the provincial town to the capital to serve in a higher capacity, to occupy a position in honor of the royal palace or royal academy, those dear ones left behind in the province would not regard the departure of their beloved as a tragedy, on the contrary. And Mrs. Sharfstein went on to say, his words spoke to my heart. They caused me to realize that though it is hard for us, the ones who are left behind, the deceased are in a much better place. They are safe, secure, and serene. I just want to segue quickly into, again, another important point in the life of Mrs. Sharfstein with her own personal family, because she herself would eventually give birth to a daughter who at that time in the 1950s was diagnosed with autism. Now, I just want to mention that I'm in the field of social services for almost 18 full years, and I'll be honest with you, in my lack of understanding and gaining of knowledge, I don't recall hearing about the term autistic until 1998, when I was already 36 years old, more than 60% of my life. And even Mrs. Sharfstein said, at that time she had a master's degree in education, but I had never heard of autism, which was a poorly understood disorder at the time, and this, we're talking about the early 1950s. And my daughter's pediatrician really never heard of autism. Bewildered, I immediately turned to the Rebbe and listened to this story, but so as to understand the work that Mr. Rabbi and Mrs. Goldstock are involved in, to understand where they're coming from, straight from the Rebbe's viewpoint. I arrived at the Rebbe's office with my little Zlati in tow, As soon as we walked in, the Rebbe motioned that we should sit down. So I sat on her one chair and then occupied the chair next to her. So she placed her daughter on one chair and she sat in the other chair. I began voicing all my concerns while the Rebbe listened attentively. Then he took out a pencil and a sheet of paper, which he pushed across the desk towards Zlati. That was the name of her daughter. Without giving a second thought, she picked up the pencil and began scribbling on the paper. And I saw the Rebbe's delight in the big, broad smile beaming from his face. And look what the Rebbe said, blessed souls, to give you an understanding of where Rabbi and Mrs. Goldstock are coming from. The Rebbe responded this way: I don't know why they're making such a big deal about her, he said. The way she's reacting is perfectly normal. Those words just lifted my spirits enormously and gave me tremendous hope. They cut through all the confusion that I felt inside. Then the Rebbe took out a silver dollar and held it in front of my daughter. She immediately reached over and took it from him, which I saw pleased the Rebbe also. The Rebbe then gave her suggestions of what she should do when enrolling her into nursery school to advance her development. And when being put into an inclusionary setting in nursery school, the Rebbe advocated she would be learning from children around her. When Mrs. Sharpton concluded in her sharing this valuable story with the rest of us, when she refused to speak, I worked with her until she did. I taught her blessings, which we pronounced before eating, and made sure that every opportunity available to her was maximized. Even though there was not much in terms of therapies in those days, again, we're talking about the 1950s and 60s, I was able to do all that because of the Rebbe's encouragement. He saw a striving soul in my daughter, and because he did, so did I. So I'm going to hand the baton to you, Eliezer, and I'm sure you can connect the dots and take it to the next level.
Well, as you successfully pointed out, of course, inclusion is all about a child being able to learn from observation. And by the way, Hashkacha Pratis, today I have a good friend of mine, Yossi, who lives in the area, who's coming to visit me, who is an adult who has what we call autism, and very, very sweet young man, and hopefully he'll get here in time to, you know, be able to share some insights with all of us. A very fun kind of a person, a guy that I really like hanging out with, and I'm looking forward to having him here today. He's about 20, he'll tell you how old he is, but he's a sweetheart of a guy. Anyhow, he's also a fellow who, he came from Australia originally. He lives in Eretz Yisrael now. And he learned most of what his learning is about is through observation and interaction with typical people. I have to tell you a couple quick stories that I've just been polishing to share with you since Pesach already. Bir Chametz, when we did that, we went to my son-in-law and my grandson and I went to burn the chametz together, and we decided this year, instead of burning the chametz in the neighborhood, let's try going to Mea Shearim. And we couldn't get all the way into Mea Shearim, so we stopped on that hill on the way down to Kikar Shabbos, you know, right before you pull into Geula. And we saw several hundred Hasidim standing around a huge bonfire that they had ignited in a dumpster, a trash dumpster. And my son-in-law said, hey, let's go and let's join them, you know. So we pulled the car in and parked off the street, the main street, but on the side street where everybody was burning their chametz. Now, you couldn't go down the street, obviously. The street was blocked off because of the dumpster. So we just parked the car and got out and started doing bir chametz, you know. Join the crowd. Now, you have to understand, my son-in-law is a Sephardishe guy who comes from the Tunisian style. So he doesn't dress all in black. You know, he's dressed in a light shirt and, you know, in a knitted kippah sugah. And my grandson's with me, and I'm dressed, you know, like a chassid, but I'm not, you know, in my full of what you call it, because I'm also getting ready for, you know, I'm cleaning for Pesach, and I'm still not ready for the Yom Tiftik Lulush, you know. And so as we get out of the car, we go over and we burn the chametz, and And I say to my son-in-law, listen, you know, there's right down the street here, about a half a block, is a hat store. Mendy and I both need new hats. And I think Mendy was with us as well. So I said, let's run down and check out the hats, you know. So
right.
We ran down the street, and we get down to the bottom of the street, not the bottom, but in the middle of the street there, and we run into the hat store. And, of course, they don't have the style of hat that I'm looking for. In other words, the Borsellino style that Lubavitch wears. They
right.
had primarily the style that, you know, the neighborhood uses, you know, the upbrim round hats. So we said
mm-hmm.
thanks to the guy, wished him a good Yom Tov, and ran outside. And as we run outside, we look up, we see a cop standing there, a policeman who pulled over and is standing in front of Avi's car trying to give him a ticket.
What is that?
So, of course, we immediately start, you know, that's a $1,000 ticket where he was parked, you know. A thousand shekels, I'm sorry. 1,000 shekels. It's gone scale for an Israeli. For us, I mean, it's a lot of money. Anyhow, so we run up to the car, and, of course, we get there, and the cop is standing in front of the car trying to write a ticket, and he can't. Why? All of the Hasidim who were there burning their chametz, who saw us burn the chametz and saw us run down the street, you know, they were very friendly. A lot of them know Avi from the Kotel, you know. They were all standing in front of the license plate on the back of Avi's car, about 20 of them, and they wouldn't let the cop see the license. And he'd tell mm-hmm. them to move, and they wouldn't move. They stood there with their sitter. They were davening, you know, whatever. And nobody would move away from Avi's car. In other words, they formed a shield around Avi's car in such a way that there was no way that this cop was going to be able to give him a ticket.
Wow.
And I thought that was such an amazing moment of Ahavas Yisrael. Because if you stop and think about it, they could have just stood aside and said, look, you know, the guy, he doesn't dress like us. And whatever. Their Ahavas Yisrael was so amazing that in the middle of burning chametz, of beer chametz, and in the middle of this, their Ahavas Yisrael came out in such a way that they were willing to put themselves in the front line and in the way of a cop, and the cop eventually had to get in his car and drive away. And the end of the story is no ticket, and we said Yashikoyach, they all just nodded and went back to, you know, burning the chametz. It was such an amazing, such a beautiful way to begin Pesach. For me, that set the tone for our entire Pesach. I decided that mm-hmm. I was going to now pass on, you know, Mesiras Nefesh, Ahavas Yisrael. Not just Ahavas Yisrael, but I was going to get in somebody else's way to prevent something from happening to another Yid, you know? The love that these guys showed was absolutely astonishing. And, I just felt that I needed to share that story with you.
I just want to mention that also breaks the stigma. Some people would perceive them as being insulated and being only into themselves. So here, what you observe directly with, you know, seeing is believing, is that just because they live in a certain part of Jerusalem, that doesn't mean they're just only thinking about themselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with 1,000%. In fact, the thought actually went through my mind, like, what are these, you know, when we got there, I thought, what are they doing? You know, like, what's going on here, you know? But no, they were 100%. In fact, a couple of them came over to us as we were leaving, and they smiled, you know, through the window, you know. They gave us a knowing nod and a smile, you know. And Avi was like laughing, and I said, looks like you become famous. And Avi said to me, he says, no. He said, that's the way they are. He says, that's who they are, and that's the way they are. That's Avi's understanding, you know. And Avi looks the least like anybody there. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I looked more like the crowd that was there than Avi did, obviously. And it didn't matter to them. A Jew was going to, you know, have his parnassa harmed in some way, you know, by losing money. senselessly because he came to do a mitzvah, they were willing to put themselves in harm's way, quote unquote. I mean, he could have called,
right,
you know, for reinforcements, you know, and tried to move everybody, but he was smart. They were laughing a little bit. You know, there was a little, you know, he had like a little smile on his face too. So, like, everybody knew what was going on, and nobody was, you know, gonna, you know, he wasn't worth causing a problem over, you know. Now, the
Elliot,
second thing
I think
was
yesterday,
that, you know,
yeah, I just want to, maybe you'll mention before the end of the program the honor you had yesterday at the memorial service. But I just remind you to make mention.
Yeah,
of that experience.
No, absolutely. Be delighted. Yesterday was the 71st year after annual or 71st anniversary of the what's called VE Day, Victory in Europe. VE Day,
mm-hmm.
And as such, it honored the memory of those who fought and perished in that battle, and the battle leading up, and the battles that led up to that day.
Mm-hmm.
From all of the armies, I marched. I was with Simon. I forgot Simon's last name. I apologize. He is a British soldier who fought in the brigade that actually landed on D-Day
mm-hmm.
in Normandy, and he carried he was on one side of the wreath that we laid at the memorial, and the commander of our post post 180 of the Jewish war veterans was in the middle, and I flanked him on the other side. I was honored as the chaplain of our post, with the honor of laying the wreath with them at the memorial for the soldiers and partisans who lost their lives, you know, making VE Day a reality. Now, one of the partisans, who is 90-plus now, got up and spoke, and he mentioned in his speech that at the time of the war, during the time he fought with the partisans in the forest, he was 16 years old, 1-6, you know. Now he's in his 90-plus, and he says that the only partisans that are left were all 16-year-olds that fought in his unit, and they had... there was like 6 or 8 of them at the ceremony yesterday, and they had them all stand up. They took a group photo in the audience. You know, they were all sitting together, and that was very moving for me because, you know, we always hear about, you know, how the Jews didn't fight, you know, and these fellows, I mean, they're real heroes. You know, they decided that they were not going to go passively and quietly into the night. And then there was the Russians. I mean, the Russians, my gosh, those guys are astonishing. They are so, how do you call it, chauvinistic, you know, when it comes to their units and their medals and their, I mean, they have medals. These guys, I'm surprised they're able to stand up. There's so many medals on their chest. My gosh, I thought that they were going to fall over. You know, I've never seen so many medals. And the commander, I might add, whom we laid the wreath with. So we had Simon was on one side. He is British, with the British unit, and then the commander fought in the Australian army, and he fought in the Israeli army, and then I was the only American representative as the chaplain, who was part of the Vietnam era group. And so when we laid the wreath, it was like four different armies represented by 3 Jews. And I also served in the Mishmar Ezrachi, the Israeli reserve police unit. I actually found bombs when I was working back in the 80s, you know, and when we were going around searching neighborhoods and bus stops and schools, and we actually found a loaf of bread that had a bomb in it. We found We found a bomb on top of a bus tahana. I mean, you know, it's everybody has had their stories. Everybody's had their, you know, their miracles, no question. But yesterday was absolutely astonishing because here we were. I was talking with a group of soldiers, Russian soldiers. They don't speak English. I don't speak Russian, but we all spoke Hebrew, you know. The French guys that were there, they all spoke Hebrew. You know, it's like, and our unit, the Americans, we all sat together. The Russians all sat together, you know. So when a cheer would go up for, you know, one of the Russian units or something, they are so well represented. I had no idea. I was talking with one of the historians that was there yesterday, and he pointed out something interesting to me that I didn't know. 500,000 soldiers that fought for the Russians were Jewish.
Wow.
500,000 Jews fought for the Russians.
Wow.
Yeah. But guess what? For the Americans, 550,000 were Jews.
Wow. I never heard those figures.
You realize that between the Russians and the Americans, the Jewish people were represented to the tune of 1.5 million soldiers that fought in World War II in Europe against the Nazis. So, you know, while on one hand they wiped out, Lalenu, I mean, it was like, and their memory should be remembered and carried on, and Yamach Shmo, the Nazim should all be blotted out. What I find fascinating is that there were 1.5 million Jews just between the Americans and the Russians fighting against the Nazis. So, you know, Baruch Hashem, you know, there's so much good came out of that yesterday. And then I was talking with a friend of mine about miracles, you know. And you know how every time a miracle occurs in our lives, the discussion basically started when we were talking about Kriyas Yom Suf, you know. So somebody said, well, you know, why at the Seder we were talking, you know, we only have one Seder, so. I'm sorry. And everybody here is going nuts, by the way, because Shavuos is coming, and there's 2 days of Yom Tov, you know, Shabbos, Yom Tov, and then Shabbos.
Uh-huh.
Or Shabbos
uh-huh.
and Yom Tov. But guess what? You guys got 3 days, so it's still better to live in Israel, guys. You know, I mean, if you're okay, never mind. A lot of people, you know, justify living where you live by saying, oh, no, we enjoy having two Seders. You know, I want to tell you something. When that second night came and you guys were sitting in the Seder and we were out, you know, wandering the streets enjoying ourselves, I have to tell you, I don't know why I gloat over this, but I love one Seder. I really just love it, you know. Anyhow, that having been said, so we were talking at the Seder about the concept of miracles and the miracle that took place. Hashem did a miracle. He took us out of Mitzrayim. He did a miracle, split the Red Sea, did a miracle, gave us the Torah at Har Sinai. And somebody says at the table, why don't we see more miracles, you know, openly revealed miracles like that? And I always remember hearing the Rebbe once said at a Fabringen, and I hope I can do this justice because I really don't have anything to back me up here. But at Kriyas Yom Suf and today, if you look at the people who saw and heard the Torah being given on Har Sinai, the people who witnessed and actually participated in Kriyas Yom Suf, who went, you know, the people who actually saw and witnessed the miracles of the ten makos of the in Mitzrayim, and who saw us walk out of Mitzrayim in an open miracle. the further we get away from a miracle, the more difficult it is to justify what happened. So we hear these stories about soldiers who jumped out of an airplane during the War of Independence or subsequent 1956, I think it was, when we fought against Nasser in Egypt, you know, the Egyptians. And there's stories about soldiers who jumped out of the airplane and a bullet right. came whizzing at them and it hit them right in the chest and they thought they were dead.
Wow.
They landed on the ground and it turned out that they were alive. And they looked and they pulled out and what? They had an army issue sitter, which is a very small but very thick
wow.
sitter. And the bullet went right into the sitter.
Wow.
But it didn't hurt them. You know, I mean, it may have hurt, you know, bruised them or whatever, but the fact that the sitter was where, you know, right there in their pocket, so it saved their lives. And I've heard this story, by the way, more than one time. Guys who have told this story, they got hit twice. The one that protected them, you know, from getting their heart, you know, pierced was the sitter. You know, so when they landed, they made a commitment that if because Hashem saved them, they're going to put on tefillin. Every day, you know, that's going to be their moida ani to Kadosh Baruch Hu, their hedah.
Resolution, right.
So years later, the further they get away from the miracle, the more they say, okay, Hashem did a miracle. This happened to them. A miracle happened to them. And the further they get away from the miracle, the easier it is for them to forget the promise that they made to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a result of the miracle. Why? Because time goes on and our memories weaken, you know. Our memories
right.
fade in terms of the great miracle. Okay, yeah, Hashem did a great miracle. I put on tefillin. I said I was going to put it on for this month. But, you know, that happened then and this is now, you know. And it's
right.
the same thing, and this is what the Rebbe was pointing out, that yes, Hashem did a miracle for us, and we crossed the Red Sea, and we got the Torah at Har Sinai, and we got out of Mitzrayim, and all these amazing, amazing miracles took place for us. And yet, the further somehow we get away from that, our memories begin to fade. So the Rebbe always pointed out a very interesting thing, that if you have to work for it, in other words, if you go and you do something where you have to work and you begin to understand what it is about putting on tefillin and what's the meaning and what's the purpose of doing it and what's the essence of and how is it connected and how does it connect me to Hashem and how does it connect me to other, you know, to other Yidden and so forth and so on, then that, doing that, he said, makes you realize how important that mitzvah is, and you will never stop doing it because you had to work for it. When Hashem gives you something, even though it's a miracle, and it's the most amazing miracle, and it's a miracle that reaches your neshama, the essence of your neshama, somehow you still, the guy says, you know, I had a miracle happen to me, I'm going to give generously to tzedakah, you know? And I'm going to show, you know, my love for Hashem. And as time goes on, he says, okay, I've given enough, you know, time. But
right.
if he has to work to earn the money and work to understand what it means to give tzedakah and really begins to understand the essence of it and it permeates his life, then that mm-hmm. person has the ability to overcome all obstacles. To see to it that tzedakah is given and that they're able to give tzedakah, you know. Now, I know that Michelle and Shoshana are listening, and if they are, they should call in because I really want to talk with them briefly. If some real miracles are about to take place for us on our with our organization here in Eretz Yisrael, and I can't say too much about what's going on right now, but I'm telling you, this is like, you know, man min hashamayim, you know, the way life just keeps moving on. You know, you lost you lost your father, and
yes,
and hopefully that darkness will become light, you know, and somehow we'll
amen.
We'll realize you're not walking through the shadows alone, and
right.
You know that we can't trivialize your loss, because you know obviously you've had an amazing loss in your life. I mean, it's very, very big loss. And yet, like the Rebbe said, you know, people don't just up and die and pass away. And you know, science, even science has come to the realization that, you know, none of us can be alone in our grief, and none of us can be
mm-hmm.
alone in solitary without our connection to our parents. And that's why we say Kaddish for them, because they're in a new place and a new time zone, so to speak. You know, neshama daylight savings, you know. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're saying Kaddish and you're bringing, you know, you're not going through the valley of the shadow of death. You're going through you're bringing light into that valley, and you're making
yes.
it a peak and a mountain, and lifting yourself up, and somehow you can feel that as you every day when you stand and say Kaddish for your father, as rote as it becomes because of the effort you have to put out, you start to feel like, you know, you're bringing light into his life, into his essence,
yes.
into his where he is now, and hopefully
yes.
we will all be reunited together as one in Yerushalayim. In
Amen.
The Gula, Amitas, Hashlema, B'mehra, B'meinu. I know you have to
Amen.
Leave early today, and believe it or not, so do I, so I can't really stay for the full program. But we should mention that if Shoshana and... They didn't call in, huh, Michelle? Shoshana,
well, I think Shoshana or Michelle might have called in, but they dropped the line because I thought that... I got a message from Shoshana that she was going to listen in, but I didn't get the impression she was going to participate, so they apparently dropped the line.
Oh, okay. Well, let them know that we should say that, first of all, she should have a refuah shleima, and everything
Amen.
Should go well for her. And as you mentioned, Hashem, Ani Hashem Rafecha, that Ior, the month of Ior, which is... which we're still celebrating Rosh Chodesh, Iyar. Today is the first day of Iyar, and now we should see a speedy and complete, the Refuah Shelema, complete and speedy recovery from all maladies that every Jew has anywhere in the world, and especially to those close to us, that Shoshana should have a complete and speedy recovery. And Michelle... Michelle, I sent a couple of notices out to a couple of our friends on app for Facebook, you know, the message app, and
mm-hmm.
Everybody said, you know, sent back messages, thank you, you know, and I was just like delighted to be able to do it. I mean, in the past, I
right.
haven't been able to, you know, send out personal messages. I always had to send them out through Facebook, you know, in a qualistic way, in a general way, but I'm always happy to make contact with people. And we have such amazing, amazing people on our site. And of course, the Rabbi Goldstock Study Group, what an amazing group of people. And it's funny because I know how many people actually go to the site and visit it, even though they don't make any comments or they don't say anything. I know that, you know, like 50 people visited, you know, or looked at the site or whatever. So I get a click, you know, a constant. And some, I see that sometimes Tanya, you know, trumps Hayom Yom or the, you know, the Parsha. Oh, by the way, I have to mention, don't become confused on my site, my Facebook site, my website, or my learning, the Rabbi Goldstock Study Group site. If you see the Parsha is last week's Parsha or next week's Parsha, because this week, this, what do you call it, this Yeah, this week and the next and the following few weeks, we're having a different parshas in Eretz Yisrael. Like you're gonna, you're having parshas Kedoshim this week.
That's
and,
right.
And we're having parshas Emor. So, and last week you had parshas Achrei Mois, and we had parshas Kedoshim. So we're a week ahead of you right now. But we're all learning the same. We're all learning the same Pirkei Avos together at the same time. Now, I have to tell you, I had such a great time on Shabbos with Mendy and Suri. We decided that last year we started learning, you know, one chelik of Pirkei every Shabbos between Mincha and Maariv.
Right.
So I come home, I make sure we sit down on the porch, we get out, we open up the sitter, and it says, Moshe Kibel Torah, you know, Moshe received the Torah on Har Sinai. So I said, so I looked at them, and I said, and what did Moshe do with the Torah when he got it? He learned it, you know, okay, and he understood it, yeah, and then before he passed away, what did he do with it? So Suri said, well, first of all, he came down the mountain, he threw it down, and he broke the luchot, you know. So I said, right, that's very good. That's correct. And so I said, what happened to those luchos? So we discussed what happened to those luchos. By the way, it's a mushel that I've used over and over many, many times explaining to Jews why you cannot give up a child who has a special needs, because if Hashem saw to it that we kept the luchos that were broken. And those luchos were used when the Jews went out to war. As long as those luchos were the broken luchos were with us, we were victorious in all of our efforts. So the ruchni, the spirituality that existed in the broken luchos was equal to the luchos that were, in fact, they may have even been on a higher level than the second luchos, because the first ones were actually crafted by Hashem himself. And the second ones were crafted by Moshe Rabbeinu, who had observed Hashem actually in the process of creating those luchos, the first luchos. So if the broken luchos have such power, and they're equal to the complete luchos, which are the ones that we learn all of the 613 mitzvahs from, and where the Gemara comes from, and all the Tanakh and everything. So if those two are equal, then we have to say that how can you possibly come and say that a Jew who isn't complete the way we want them to be complete, how can we say that they're not complete the way Hashem wants them to be? And so I said, you know, okay, so we kept the luchos, you know. What about the second ones? The second ones, yeah, they were kept in the aron next to the other ones, the broken ones. So I said to them, so what happened to those? You know, that became a discussion that lasted 45 minutes of the most amazing insights. You know, try taking Pirkei this week with your children and sit down and just ask a very basic, simple question. What happened to them, you know? And eventually, of course, we got to the point that Moshe gave them to Yehoshua, and Yehoshua gave them to the Zakenim and the Anshek and the Sadegadil and so forth and so on. The point was that their interest and involvement was so amazing this week that we had a great, great learning experience. And last year, I remember that we went over a lot of this, and they brought up a lot of what we learned last year. So I was really proud of them, you know, that they were able to draw upon, last year's learning and brought it out this year, a year later. Amazing, amazing experience. And I have to tell you, it was like, the learning that they do and that their level of learning It's so deep. It's so rich. It's got so much to it that there may not be miracles like the Kriyas Yamsu today, but there are definitely individual miracles where battles and battles are won and tunnels are discovered and situations are averted. Those kinds of miracles every day, no question about it. But that's done because Hashem wants us to survive, and it's not done as an inspirational miracle. The miracles that were done at Har Sinai and the miracles that were done at the Kriyas Yamsu were miracles that were done, really, if you think about it, they were inspirational miracles. They were to let us see Hashem openly reveal himself in a way that, well, first of all, most people don't realize. Kriyas Yamsu split the water, every single body of water on planet Earth split.
That's
at the same time that the Yamsu split. Now, what's fascinating is, why didn't anybody ever record that? Or better still, how come nobody's ever tried to refute it?
Right.
Because there were hundreds of thousands, millions of people who witnessed this miracle, and it's irrefutable. The Hashem comes down from Mount Sinai, or Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from Har Sinai. The Jews are standing at Har Sinai, and they witnessed Hashem speaking, and Hashem, they saw Hashem, and they heard Hashem. Now, that's irrefutable evidence. If Hashem wanted to, Chas V'Sholom, Lo Aleinu, wanted to change something about the Torah, why didn't he do such an open miracle where he came down and said, I want to change things? There's nothing that was witnessed by everybody all at once. There's a lot of anecdotal stuff that comes along later on and so forth and so on. And there's other versions of religious experiences, but there's never been an experience, a religious experience that was witnessed by millions of people all at once, recorded and never refuted by anybody, ever, that to this day has never been refuted. And yet every other religious experience that came subsequent to that has been refuted and has been argued upon because it wasn't witnessed all at once by one body of human beings. And by the way, the people who were standing at Har Sinai became Jewish at that moment, literally.
Right.
And that's the moment that we became Jewish. When we crossed the Yamsu, when we went across Kriyas Yamsu, we were still tribes. We weren't really a nation yet.
True.
So it wasn't until we actually came to Har Sinai, standing there, and then everybody who witnessed that became a believer in the monotheistic tradition of one God, one people, one nation under God. You know, that was us.
True.
And
Eliezer,
okay,
we have to hear your after blessings as well.
Okay, I'm going to start with Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam. Al Hamichi Ve'al Kalkol Ve'al Tenu Ve'Hasada Ve'Hashem Latir Baruch Ava Shartisim Nichalfo Lavashenu Lecho Mipi Avizbayim Mituva Lechemna Adonaihenu Ayisrael Amecha Ve'al Yerushalayim Amecha Uvnei Yerushalayim Erika Yishnu Meher Ve'Meinu Samchenu Vam Recha Ve'Yushak Yata Adonai Dov Ve'Meitiv Lakol Ve'Nei Lecho Al Ha'Aretz Ve'Al Hamichi Baruch Ata Adonai Al Ha'Aretz Ve'Al Hamichi Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Berein Afashayt Yerveis Mechesanon Al Kol Masha Barasa Lachayesh Bahem Nevesh Kol Chai Baruch Hei Oy Lamim.
Amen.
Rabbi
Goldsick just sanctified cyberspace by giving thanks for the mazonos and the coffee. I'm going to make a blessing, and then Rabbi Goldsick is going to tell you, bless us, how you can connect and support him in his noble efforts to empower handicapped people. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Bore nefashos rabos v'chesronon al komash shabos halachios b'nefesh kochoy bruch chei ho'olamim.
Amen. And Don just thanked Hashem for the drink he had, which was probably a smoothie or a coffee. That's my guess.
A coffee.
But I'm not going to ask you for sure. So here's how you get in touch with us, because we have to wind this thing down today and do it on time. First of all, check out our website, www.hearttoheartassociated. That's how you locate us on the web today. And there is some really big news going to be coming our way soon. Truck good, the dying good. We should only hear good news. Also, if you want to reach us, and there on that site, you can go. There's a donation page that's attached to our other site, www.hearttoheartamerican.org. But just stick with the associated, hearttoheartassociated.org. www.hearttoheartassociated.org. You go there, it'll take you right to our new website, all new website that was designed and put together by our genius, Shoshana Imhoff Maus. I want to thank her very much for all of her amazing, amazing efforts in making the website work. And hopefully our newest video will go up and it'll be seen, and people will get an idea of who's coming our way soon. Next is, you want to reach us here in Yerushalayim, you can send a cash check or money order to Heart to Heart, 18-1, Ben Zakkai, BenZakai, Jerusalem, 93186. And I want to thank all those who have been so kind as to send us some amazing, amazing. First of all, I have to thank my good friend, our dear friend, Bibi, who has been, not Bibi Netanyahu, but, I just dropped Bibi's last name. I'm sorry, Bibi. But, oh my gosh. That's horrible. Anyhow, what we're going to do is I want to thank Bibi. I want to thank, Ross. I want to thank all of the other people who have been so kind as to give, such generous donations to us. We have, Tracy, Bibi Tracy. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe I forgot Bibi's last name. That's horrible. Okay. I'm sorry, Bibi.
Okay.
I want to thank I have a list, and I left the list in the other room. I'm sorry. I apologize. And I'm waiting here for this is a terrible, terrible way to end the program, but thank you, everybody, for sending in just generous donations, and please keep it up. And I want to thank Don for all of his efforts on our behalf, and I want to thank all of our board members, Alan Stock. I want to thank Ellie Wiesel, of course. I want to thank Professor Ryder. I want to thank my Asher Schayel Khanatova for all of her efforts on our behalf. And I want to thank, most of all, I want to thank all of the people who have helped us out with support, and those who have asked not to be identified, who did give us money before Pesach, very generously, and did it in the true spirit of tzedakah by asking not to be mentioned or identified, but they should know that their efforts were used and utilized fully, and their participation was most generously recognized, needed, and utilized properly. Okay, that's it. I just want to say that. Go ahead.
With that being said, I'd like to thank Rabbi Dr. Eliezer Goldstock, International Director of Heart to Heart, along with his Eishes Chag Hanotova. We're going to be concluding succinctly, blessed souls, with Shemot a cappella by Reosef Kadurna. I just want to read the words in English because it's the only musical instrument you'll be hearing is his blessed human voice. A song of ascents. I shall raise my eyes to the mountains. From where will my help come? My help is from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to fall to your guardian. Will not slumber. Behold, the guardian of Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your guardian. The Lord is your shadow. He is by your right hand. By the day, the sun will not smite you, nor the moon at night. The Lord will guard you from all evil. He will guard your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from now on eternity. I just want to remind everyone before we sign off, you've got to be good because the Tevatov Lahati with the nature of the good to do good, and because you are in the creations, because the source of all goodness placed you in the world. So go ahead and do some goodness. Shemos a cappella Tehillim, chapter 120 by Yosef Kadurner. Take care, and next week hopefully we'll reunite with Rabbi Eliezer Goldsack. Take care, everyone.
אל ייתן למות רגליך, אל ינום שומריך. הנה לא ינום,
ינום
ולא ישן, שומר ישראל. השם שומריך, השם צילך, על יד ימינך. יומם השמש לא יקקה, וירח בלילה. השם ישמורך מכל רע, ישמור את נפשך. השם ישמור צאתך ובואך מעתה ועד עולם. שיר למעלה, אשא עיניי אל הערים, מאין יבוא עזרי מעם השם, עושה שמיים וארץ, אל ייתן למות רגליך, אל ינום שומריך. הנה לא ינום, ולא ישן, שומר ישראל. השם שומריך, השם צילך, על יד ימינך. יומם השמש לא יקקה, וירח בלילה. השם ישמורך מכל רע, ישמור את נפשך. השם ישמור צאתך ובואך מעתה ועד עולם. הנה לא ינום, ולא ישן, שומר ישראל. השם שומריך, השם צילך, על יד ימינך. יומם השמש לא יקקה, וירח בלילה. השם ישמורך מכל רע, ישמור את נפשך. השם ישמור צאתך ובואך מעתה ועד עולם. השם ישמור צאתך ובואך מעתה.